Welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. Today we have John Sterling retiring, Spencer Strider out for the year, and tips to maximize your ballpark experience right now.
Nine Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome to this week's episode, Baseball Family. My name is Brad and I am back. I was away for a short time, but I am back and I'm here and I'm ready to go with my guy Brig. How are you this evening, Mr. Brig?
I'm doing okay, man. How are you?
Doing all right. It was nice to get a little, take a little getaway, see some family, go to a Mariners game, happen to lose on a challenge, Brig, a challenge.
I know.
It's awful. Livid. I was livid. I have never been that angry at like leaving a ballpark before. It was unreal. Usually I'm like, man, it sucks you lost, but it was cool to be there. And I was like, yeah, my sister's like, well, at least it was fun. We had two home runs hit in the section. Both home runs in the game were hit in the section we were sitting in. We just missed the second one.
Baseball family, Brad sent me a picture and said, I'm somewhere in this photo.
And like, where's Waldo?
Yeah, in about, you know, a sea of Trident wearing Mariners pants. I found him in like 3 seconds. I was like, there you are.
Let's put it up on Instagram and see if anybody can find me.
Maybe we'll put it up on
Twitter or on TikTok too. See if anybody can find it in like the 30 seconds that I play with a sound. Maybe we'll put it with the Jeopardy music or something.
All right. Good call.
Okay, so funsies, let's get into things. So before we get too much into things, we want to remind you that we're going to be doing a monthly newsletter this season, throughout the season. It will be just a short little thing with some snippets of additional thoughts from Brig and I about some current events and some topics that we talk about, give you a sneak peek about what things that are coming, and feature some of our partners so you can know who we're partnered with so you can find other ways to support the show. Mm-hmm. So there's a link in the doobly-doo. Go click that and you can sign up and we will jump in your inbox. Now, tonight's episode, like as we're recording tonight on Monday night, it is Jackie Robinson Day. So we're going to say that today's show or this week's show is brought to you by the 77th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier and making his debut in Major League Baseball with the Brooklyn Dodgers. It's a big day in history. I love it. I need to go watch 42 this week in honor of Jackie Robinson.
Yeah,
I love it. And I love everybody wearing 42. It's one of my favorite baseball traditions.
It is for me as well. I love it.
Super cool. Okay, John Sterling. First things first here. John Sterling will no longer be the play-by-play announcer for the New York Yankees. Due to health concerns, he will immediately step down. Brig, you heard his last radio call.
Yeah.
Right?
I did, and I didn't even, obviously, I didn't know it was going to be his last radio call.
Yeah.
And, you know, I found out later, I was like, wait a minute, because, you know, I turned it off, and then I walked away, went about the rest of my day, Then I stumbled back into it and realized, oh, wow, what a moment, you know, it's amazing how life does that, you know, The significance of things sneaks up on you, and you don't realize it until it's too late most of the time.
That's like, did you see a couple of years ago, there was something going around on Instagram or whatever. It's like one of those memes that said, at one point, it was the last time you and your friends went and played outside together, but nobody knew it.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that, you know, it's like you're listening to John Sterling for the last time and nobody knew, nobody had a clue.
Yeah. It's intense. And it's sad, but the guy, he's 85 and he's only been broadcasting for 64 years
only.
It's the end of an era. It's maybe even in the end of an epoch. I guess this is much more than an era. It's a huge deal. He's been cutting his workload down for the last couple of years anyway. He doesn't travel as much. I think he still goes to Boston when they go to Boston, and Toronto. I think he'll go up to Toronto and things like that, but mostly doing home games. He was quoted though. He said in the presser, he says, I'm a very blessed human being. I have been able to do what I wanted, broadcasting for 64 years as a little boy growing up in New York as a Yankees fan. And then I was able to broadcast the Yankees for 36 years. It's all to my benefit, and I leave very, very happy. I look forward to seeing everyone again on Saturday, when he will be returning to the Bronx, and they will be honoring him.
That's cool.
For all his time. They That's serve. Awesome. Yeah.
So all in all, he called 5,420 Yankee games since 1989, 211 in the postseason. His final home run call was a Giancarlo Stanton grand salami with his long, drawn-out Italian call. That,
and he sang the show tune and everything.
He sang it?
Yeah,
he did. Was it a walk-off?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'd have to go back, but I don't think it was.
Okay, but it was his final home run call. So do they know who's going to be replacing him yet? Is Susan Waldman just going to step in with guests, or how's that going to work?
So she's been doing color for him, obviously, the whole time. But when he's not there, they have a replacement guy. I don't know who his name is. I know that they've had a couple of voices. So that's the thing with radio. You're like, who is that, right?
Unless
you catch the very beginning of the broadcast where they introduce themselves, you don't know. Uh-huh. So I've heard a couple of different voices over the last little while. I know the guy who does their Spanish broadcast is amazing.
Like, most of them are. Most
amazing.
Of them are.
And he'll come in and do some every once in a while when John can't. Last season in particular. So I don't know who they're going to get. They've got a different guy that I heard in one of their last road trips that was very good as well. So
yeah,
I'm sure it'll be great whoever they pull.
The bench is deep.
I think it's kind of what it seems like. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So they'll probably, I bet what they'll do is they'll platoon the position for the rest of the season, then they'll hire somebody full-time after that.
I think you're right.
It's probably what it sounds like they'll do. So
yeah,
and I think they've probably been prepping for this as well, as far as that goes.
Oh yeah, they've been auditioning.
The fact that he hasn't been, yeah, the fact that he hasn't been traveling. So
yeah.
Well, good for him. He was. This is the thing. Like, you didn't have to be a Yankees fan to appreciate John Sterling.
No,
it was just like Vin Scully. If you were a baseball fan, you'd like to listen to Vin Scully, John Sterling, and why can't I think of the other guy? He's doing Giants games. He did Sunday Night Baseball. John Miller. You could appreciate John Miller too, just as a baseball fan.
For sure. So.
And yep. I mean, Bookshon, like, there's a long list of baseball guys.
There are.
You could appreciate just as a baseball fan, but he was definitely up there as one of the top couple. So
yeah, I agree. Well, it's hard to put your own spin on something as, you know, straightforward as calling a play by play, right?
And something that's been around for as long as it has.
Exactly.
Play by play.
Exactly. And so for somebody to really be like identifiable and even become quintessential with a brand and with a team, that's a significant accomplishment in any profession. So I prefer radio broadcasts most of the time.
Yeah.
To television. And so this is going to affect me dramatically.
Yeah. Yeah. I prefer the call on radio over TV typically as well.
Yeah,
so what day was his last game? Was it Sunday?
Today.
Oh, Monday? Today?
Yeah, it was today.
Oh, okay.
The game ended and then he said, okay, I'm done. And everyone was like, what?
Wait, what? Hello?
Yeah.
It would have been good to know, buddy.
Yeah, it was. I hope he's okay. I don't know what the imminent health concerns are, but that's what they're saying.
He's 85. It's like what we've been like. So my grandma passed away a couple weeks ago. That's why I was gone. Right. Yeah. It's like, everybody's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, hey, she was 96. So.
Right.
You know.
And pretty happy about it.
And yeah, she was ready.
A little bit ready. Yeah.
So, and I think that he's probably gotten to the point where he's like, I did what I wanted to do for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Love to have him come, like, stick around. Like I say, stick around and make his appearances. But I think he's reached his point
where they're going to retire his initials or something. Like, you know, that's coming.
Yeah,
it's the right answer. And I'll let you know, baseball family. Well, perfect. I'll watch, find out.
Love it. All right. Let's talk about Spencer Strider, because we talked last week about the pitching injury carousel.
Yeah.
Spencer Strider was on that list, and now he's made an even more prominent position for himself on it because he's out for the rest of the year. He had surgery done to repair his torn UCL, what they're calling an internal brace. I think Otani had the same thing. They're not, it's not Tommy John. They're calling it an internal brace. It's all done by Dr. Keith Meister. He's technically the Texas Rangers team doctor, but he's also the Tommy John guru right now. It used to be, I think it was Dr. James Andrews for a long time. He was doing ACLs and UCLs, but now it's Dr. Keith Meister down in Texas, and he's the Tommy John wizard and has done all kinds of studies on stuff. So he's the one who did this. Strider, though, he did miss the shortened 2020 season with Tommy John. Keep in mind, this isn't that. He's not having a second Tommy John. He's having an internal brace. And I think that what Dr. Meister is doing, he's doing a ton of research on this to try to figure out the best way to keep pitchers on the field, because he understands it's lost money for the teams, lost money for the players, lost opportunity, things like that. So he wants to do everything he can to keep players on the field. And I think this is one of the things that he's doing to move things forward to help with that. So
I'm looking it up right now, but who did Bryce Harper's UCL?
I think it was Meister, honestly.
No, Dr. Nell Elitrash in Los Angeles.
Huh.
Yeah, just because I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, surely it was this guy, but it wasn't.
Now I'm looking. It's the same guy. Neil Elitrash did Corey Seager's as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I wonder if Elitrash is, if that's how you say that. If
I don't know.
If he does position players and Meister does pitchers.
Could be. Hey, there you go.
You know, I don't know.
But it's just interesting that these guys have gotten to such prominence, not only in their field, but in the fan base. Like, we know who they are.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like Dr. James Andrews, I remember there was a stretch where it was like anytime anybody from any sport was going to see Dr. James Andrews, it's like, oh, no, he's in trouble.
Yeah, it's bad.
Because he only saw guys when they were in trouble. They were in a bad way. So, yeah, it's crazy to think that you know the team doctors because they're the ones who are doing all this stuff. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't know who the team doctors are.
It's certainly telling.
Yeah, I knew who the Portland Trailblazers team doctor was when I was in high school. Yeah. Because he also did my dad's ankle when he broke it. So, close family friend.
Yeah. the guy that did both my shoulders was the BYU's head orthopedic surgeon.
Oh, he right on.
All of BYU athletes went to him for orthopedic surgeries. So he did both of mine.
So he's a close family friend as well.
No, for real, though.
I'm not kidding, Brick.
No, like
become that because you go see them all the time.
That's right. And my dad was there and doing his stuff, and like everybody knows him. He's retired now, but the guy was a wizard.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
You can see him anytime a player went down on the field. There he goes.
There he runs out there. Yeah. Yeah. Anytime anybody got injured for the Blazers, like all the times that Greg Oden got injured, my dad's like, oh, there's the doc. There he goes.
Yeah.
My guy.
That's how Dr. Kimball was. It's exactly the same.
Okay, so we're going to go from the quality of injuries to the quality of baseballs. Kelly Jansen takes issue with MLB, like their baseball quality, the quality of the ball itself. He says, any balls that came, I just threw it back until I found a good ball. It's just brutal. And we've seen guys over the last couple of years just
tossing them back.
Chuck them out. Get one, chuck it out. 4, 5, 6 in a row even.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it's to mock the umpires, right? But oftentimes it's the quality of the baseball.
Yeah. And so he says the balls have gotten progressively worse since the beginning of his career until now. And he's not the only one. Tampa Bay relief pitcher Pete Fairbanks also said they're horrible and told reporters they can quote him in all caps.
Yeah, he said all caps, horrible.
And they say this has to do with the grip of the ball. It has nothing to do with them being juiced.
Right.
So it's really interesting that guys are talking about the quality and grip of the baseball. I wonder if not being able to use like spider tack or any sticky substances makes it worse, because they're like, well, before we could compensate for a crappy baseball.
Right.
Now we can't even compensate for a baseball. I've been wanting to look and check the numbers and see how hit by pitches have been affected since they've banned sticky stuff. I need to get to it. I'm probably spend some time the next couple of days and I can do it.
That's a great thought.
Take a look, because one of the things is that players prefer the pitchers to use sticky stuff because they get that wicked spin, but at the same time they have more control.
Right.
Right. And Major League Baseball has even checked. They said, well, spin rate hasn't got down since we've gone down since we banned sticky stuff. It's like, well, yeah, because guys are still figuring out a way to spin the ball hard.
Right. And, but injuries have gone up.
I'm certain feels like hit by pitches have gone up.
I'll bet you're right. So that'd be a fascinating data point.
For sure.
Yeah, stay tuned Thursday, baseball
family. Yeah, come back and check that out. But pitchers in Seattle were complaining about the baseballs as well last year. They're just like, and they were saying specifically in Seattle, like they're the worst in the league in Seattle. Yeah. Was what one of the home team pitchers said. It's like, and
right.
It just blows my mind that something as simple as making a baseball that Major League Baseball can't, Major League Baseball,
yeah,
can't get that right.
Well, so Kenley Jansen said, look, the bullpen balls are better than the game balls. Like when they get rubbed up and they get used a little bit, they're better. He said that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't have a higher quality experience in the bullpen than with the game balls right out of the humidor. And he's right.
And I wonder, I've said this before, I wonder if it's because they're going through so many balls now. Because used to, you could get a ball that would be in play for 3-4 batters. And now it seems like every single ball that's put in play is immediately taken out of the game because it's a carryover from the COVID rules. They've just stuck with it. Like, stick with a ball for a few batters, let it get broken in and worn out a little bit. Like, because every batter, it seems like, is going through at least two or three. And then you take the one that gets put into play, take that out. That's three or four every at bat. Like, how many baseballs are they going through a game? Typically, I think that they used to prepare 12 dozen balls for a game. And I think that
it's 96 to 120. So average 108
is per game is what's used.
Yeah. Per game.
Okay. Yeah. Cause they prep 12 dozen per game.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that number has gone up as well with this carryover COVID rule that they use, but I don't know.
Can I just make an interesting observation?
Please do.
They use an average of 108 baseballs per game, and there are 108 stitches in a baseball.
Oh, fascinating.
I don't know. That just occurred to me. That's all.
Numerology. Like, that's nuts.
I'm like, wait a minute. 108? That can't be right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's a fun fact to end that segment on.
There you go.
Let's talk about this week in Angel Hernandez. I didn't want to make this a weekly segment, but Briggs like, why not? I was like, right. We could.
Being newsworthy, it keeps being talked about. Like, come I know. On
and so this is the thing. This week, Wyatt Langford struck out on three pitches well outside of the zone. We have the video for you. Of course, you know we have the video for you. This time we have the K zone, so you can see it. So here's the situation. Bases were loaded. J.P. Francis pitching to Wyatt Langford, top of the fourth. Strike one, well outside. Strike two, a little bit closer to the plate, low. Holy strike three. What?
That's 5 inches outside.
No, it is not. It is 6.78 inches outside to umpire auditor.
Oh, wow.
That's the largest missed called strikeout in umpire auditor history, which they joined Twitter in 2014. So they've been doing this for at least 10 years.
Wow.
So that's 6.75 inches off the plate. During this game, Angel Hernandez had 7 called strikes of pitches that missed the zone by 3 inches or more.
Whoa.
That's absurd.
Whoa.
Major League Baseball's got to do something. I don't know when the next next collective bargaining session with the umpire union is, but they've got to get to a point where, like, okay, we got to hold these guys accountable because this is just flat out lazy.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's bad for the game. It looks like he's fixing games, by the way.
Yeah, that's what it looks because like.
Keep in mind, you don't have to have one team win either way to fix a game. You can adjust the run line, make sure a team sticks within one or two runs. You can adjust for the over. You can suppress runs and adjust for the under. There are ways that umpires can be fixing games without having a specific team win. And I'm not saying that it is, but it looks really bad.
It looks bad.
And it's not okay.
No, can you imagine for a moment if there was a cabal of umpires that are fixing games, and if there's some sort of pool or revenue sharing going on between winnings and losses, that could be. I'm gonna write a story about this now, but I'm like, oh my word, that would be so bad.
That would be so bad.
That would undermine the integrity of the entire establishment.
That's how bad it looks, though.
Yeah,
with some of these umpires, it's egregious.
He's not the only one, but he is the chief.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is the worst one.
Yeah, it's absurd. Okay, let's talk about Jordan Montgomery for a little bit. Montgomery is the first, hopefully, in a group.
The first is right.
I shouldn't say hopefully. I don't. This is the thing. Jordan Montgomery fired Scott Boras as his agent. And I say hopefully he's the first of a group. But Scott Boras is not good for baseball.
No, he's not.
Not at all. And he's reached a point where he's not even good for his clients.
Right.
For his players. Because Jordan Montgomery got into camp late. Blake Snell has not been good early because he didn't get spring training at all.
But you can't figure out why. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jordan Montgomery fired Scott Boras, replaced him with the Wassermans, Joel Wolf and Nick Chanik. This comes in the wake of what was a complete meltdown and mishandling of Montgomery's offseason and free agency. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see other guys part ways with him, because like, if I was Blake Snell, I'd be out. Yeah. Absolutely out. And who else was part of the big Boras for this offseason? I can't think off the top of my head. JD Martinez. Matt Chapman. I'd be upset if I was Matt Chapman, too. I'd probably be walking away. And yeah, Garrett Cole's fine. He's got his long-term deal. Cal Raleigh, the Mariners catcher, is a Boras client. I would be talking to Montgomery and be like, dude, what do I need to be on the lookout for going forward? Because I don't know that we've ever had, at least not that I can remember, that we've had a catcher as a Boras client yet. Right? I can't think of anybody.
Not off the top of my head. I can look really quick, but
who's gone into free agency? Cal Raleigh has a couple more years before free agency, but he could be going like, yeah, Cal, you're a switch hitting catcher. Absolutely, you should be getting X amount for X years, right? X amount for Y years, whatever. But at the same time, teams are like, okay, those strikeout rates are really high, and you're way better on the left side than you are on the right side. So we don't want to give you X amount for Y years. We'll give you less. And then Boras gets in his ear and says, no, you don't want that. You can get it. And then we have the same situation, right? That he's not able to get into camp. He's not able to get in and work with his pitchers during spring training. And so I'm curious if this is something we might see with younger guys going forward. Because Juan Soto is going to be a free agent after the season, correct? Because he didn't sign an extension with the Yankees.
No, he hasn't.
So I doubt that he will, that he'll fire him. But at the same time, though, you've got to wonder, because if he wants to be a Yankee and Boras is in his ear trying to convince him to go somewhere else.
No, dude wants to be a Yankee.
Then
that dude is having so much fun.
Well, he's good at baseball again. Of course he's having so much fun.
He's good at baseball. The team is clicking. It's all good. He's very, very happy. And by the way, I'm looking up Scott Boras's previous catchers. So far, I see Jason Varitek and Pudge.
Okay.
Just two off the top of the search engine.
Okay.
So,
but yes. I don't remember them having a big free agency thing like what Boras makes a spectacle of it right now.
I don't think they're the same.
Because I don't think Varitek had that kind of situation. And maybe that's why Cal Raleigh will stick with Boras, is because Varitek is his hero. And so
that's interesting. A chance
he could be like, yeah, I want this guy to be my agent because he was my hero's agent. And maybe Varitek will tell him, like, no, it's worth it. So
that's cool. I did not know that about Cal Raleigh.
Yeah, that's part of the reason he'll never switch. He'll never stick to the left side of the plate. He wants to be, he always wanted to be a switch hitting catcher like Veritek.
I'm going to tell you something. Like, as a Yankees fan, I got to watch a lot of Jason Veritek, and I just love that guy. I thought he was just such a great baseball player, such a great personality. It was fun to be upset that he was at the plate. You know, it was just fun to be, you know, to be bothered by him. And I haven't thought about Jason Veritek in a while. And yeah, I have fond memories hating him at some points, you know, but
right,
fond,
yeah,
right. You respectfully.
So I cheered for the Red Sox in like the early 2000s, especially in 2004, because I called it among my family and friends. I said, beginning of the season, I said, this is the year Red Sox win.
Yeah.
And so I was cheering hard for him that year. And then, and so I got to be a really big Jason Veritek fan, and my fandom. And so I was cheering for the Red Sox there for a while. My fandom for the Red Sox left with Jason Veritek.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
that makes sense.
So it's going to, but anyway, back to the whole Boris thing. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Boris over the next couple of years. See how guys treat him, because he has not treated his guys very well.
Not recently.
No, has not gone well.
Well, the Houston Astros. Let's talk about the Astros, because they're off to their worst 15-game start since 2013. Now,
and things were bad funny, then. Things were real
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, they
then.
Were really bad. Yeah, really bad. What's funny, though, is that if you'll remember, they keep complaining about the batter's eye out in center field.
Right.
At the end of last season. Mm-hmm. Then they fixed it for this season, and it's just.
Well, no, they. So they fixed it in the middle of a road trip. They were on a road trip middle of September. They came home and they had added a couple feet of length to it.
Yeah.
Or width to it, I guess. And since then, this is including the playoffs, they've gone 6-16 at home and 12-7 on the road.
Well, what I mean by they fixed it again is now they've painted it a little bit of a different color and it's still not working.
Oh, did they do that again in the offseason?
Yeah, they did. And it's still not working.
So I think with the Astros, there are some other issues. You know, we had Blanco's no-no, right? That was a bright spot for the Astros this year. But at the same time, everybody else seems to be really struggling because they're off to a horrendous start right now. I dropped it and I missed it. But they're currently 6-11.
Their bats need hats, I think.
I think you're right.
So they need,
or maybe they need to cut the head off a live chicken.
Make somebody off. Touched Jobu's rum. That's what happened. Somebody touched Jobu's rum. You don't do that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
Listen, the AL West, the rest of the AL West is pumped about this.
They are, but nobody's capitalizing on it really, because they're still only like 2.5 games out of first place, because the Rangers were 8-8 going into Monday. Nobody in that division wants to win, apparently.
It's so weird.
It's the weirdest start that I have seen in this division in a very long time.
Yeah.
Even the A's are in third place right now.
I know. I was going to say, like, the A's have been surprisingly plucky so far this season, and I don't get it.
Yep. Yeah. All surprising. They're pulling a real-life major league this year, like we talked about with the Orioles last year. It's the A's this year.
It is.
All right, we're going to take a quick break in just a minute. But before we do that, today in baseball history, this is April the 16th, 1948. A Major League Baseball game was televised for the first time by WGN-TV in an exhibition game at Wrigley Field with Jack Brickhouse doing the play-by-play. The White Sox defeated the Cubs 4-1. Did you watch WGN growing up, Brig?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you did. We all grew up watching WGN.
Of course we did.
Now it's marquee that the Cubs are on. But WGN was enormous in building the Cubs brand nationally, and I think that's one thing that's super cool. Super
deep. That and the best baseball documentary ever made. All right, baseball family, when we come back, we're going to get into how to maximize your ballpark experience. Welcome back, baseball family. This is one of the things that we did, like, 3 or 4 years ago.
This was one of the first 40 episodes we did, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really early. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we decided we wanted to revisit this because the landscape of baseball has changed. Our tastes have changed. Our family situations have changed, and we have a lot more experience than we did even then. So we are going to talk about how we what we believe are some of the keys to maximizing your ballpark experience. And there are you can get a lot of different levels of experience, I guess, different classes of experience. Depending on the ballpark you go to, you can pay as much as you want these days, and you can get anything, almost anything you could ask for at a major league facility. Or you can go to the lowest A, Class A minor league facility in a historic ballpark like the one in Asheville and, you know, get a bucket of popcorn and have a great time there. So there's so much going on, and I feel like the experiences are more rich than they've ever been now. I think people have rebounded from COVID, and that has brought back a more keen appreciation for the ballpark experience. I think teams have rallied around that and have provided new and exciting food options and new and exciting venue options. Ballparks are starting to build the model after the Battery down in Atlanta, where it's a whole economic district, and that's now bleeding into minor league facilities as well. So there's a lot of really neat things that have happened in the last couple of years, 3 or 4 years since we've recorded this episode and given our tips. So we're going to do it again right now, and we're excited that you're here for it, because we're excited, and some things have changed and some things haven't changed. So Brad, why don't you tell us? We're going to do five each. Again, we haven't shared our lists with one another, but Brad, why don't you tell us what's one way you like to maximize your ballpark experience?
So one thing I like to do is I like to take advantage of the clear bag rule, of the clear bag policy, right? So you can bring a clear bag and get them on, you can get them on Amazon and stuff.
Yeah.
Or you can have them branded with like your team name on and stuff. This one, I have one actually right here. Got on Amazon. It's seen better days. It's been well used. So I have a few certain things that I keep in mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I always have seeds in there. I can always bring sunflower seeds into a game. I have a couple of like microfiber towels. I actually happened to get them at the Savannah Bananas game that we went to. Oh, we put them in there because like if the seat is wet, like if it had rained that day, or if it's just dirty and I don't want to sit on a dirty seat or whatever, just like wipe my seat off. Haven't had to use them yet, but I've got them in there for something like that. And then the one thing that I always make sure I do is I grab a couple of water bottles out of the fridge, put them in a gallon bag so the condensation doesn't get all over stuff in my bag. Yeah. And I drop it in there. And that way I don't have to spend $9 on a bottle of water in a game. I can spend that $9 on a bunch of other things. Or one other thing, right?
Yeah, well, probably one. Dog,
part of my nachos can go towards that. But it's just, it's one way to save a little bit of money to be able to spend on something else that I enjoy rather than spending it on water. And then when you drink that water, go fill it up in the drinking fountain. It's not going to be as good, but you're still, like I said, saving a little bit of money that you can use somewhere else in the game that's more enjoyable than be like, golly, I just need a little bit of water, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of my favorite things is having a clear bag filled with seeds. My microfiber towel is like the best thing that I put in there.
Yeah, it's nice.
In a while. That's a good thought. Yeah. And then always water, always at least two waters. If you have like four or five people, you can fit four or five water bottles in there, get one for everybody, and everybody's set for the entire game. So take advantage of the fact that they will let you bring those things inside the game, into the game, inside a clear bag. It will change your experience.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's you stole that from me from last time, which is awesome.
To that point, I had never used a clear bag to go in a game.
Yeah. It's a big safety thing, and stadiums all over the place are requiring them now. If you have a bag larger than about a billfold, right, or a large
like clutch, a clutch, yeah,
then they're not going to let you bring it into the ballpark. And so you have to be really careful. It's better safe than sorry. So you can buy them at the team stores, but the worst thing to do is to have to run your stuff all the way back to the car because it's too big, and they searched it and they said no and whatever.
Right.
Not that searching your bag is bad, but yeah, do that. I'm going to piggyback because I had the clear bag on my list as well. But one of the things that I always forget. I always forget this. One of the things I always wish I had remembered to bring to the ballpark was the little teeny bottles of sunscreen. And that fits perfectly in your bag. Just take a couple of those little bottles, maybe like one per person if you can. And they're small enough that if, you know, the little 2 ounce guys, right? If they're small enough that if they're like, you can't have that many, you pair them, you throw a couple of them away or whatever, right? And they're never going to tell you that. But if they did, you could say, okay, fine. Instead of trying to lose a whole tube of
I prefer the aerosol like 1,000 times to one.
Yeah.
Because I hate lotion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one thing that, like, if I'm going to a day game, I always bring a can of sunscreen.
Yeah.
Of spray sunscreen for sure.
I do it. I do the lotion for, especially with the kids, so that I don't miss any spots and I can do a really good job and they can kind of help me so they can get it in the parts of their face that I don't. Every kid hates spraying in their face. Everybody. See,
so living in Arizona, my son is super duper good about it. So close your eyes, hold your breath.
Yeah.
He's spraying. Yeah, he does a good job.
That's because great.
He's used to it. So, but I can see why other kids would be like, bah!
Yeah. 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 It's a whole thing every summer here.
I believe it. Cause you're not applying sunscreen year round.
No, it is not a constant. So we always end up making the mistake, and you'd think I'd learned by now, but we make the mistake every time of suffering through the first, second, maybe the third inning, and then I'm running around to find which shop in the concourse has sunblock. So, then I end up paying $1 million.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so expensive. I've done it at every stinking ballpark. The one ballpark I did not have to do it at was Kauffman in Kansas City. I went to the medical aid center and I was like, do you have? And they were like, yeah. And there were these little baseball card size cello packs.
Nice.
Packs that you like, they look like oversized ketchup packets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Up on screen. Mm-hmm. So that's the only time I've not had to pay for them, but I keep being a dunderhead and forgetting to bring. So if you're like me and it's going to be a day game, bring some sunscreen.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So my next one, this is before you even get in.
Okay.
So like, there's always some kind of unique thing to get at the ballpark. And if you want to, and like, get the unique thing at the ballpark, right? That's part of this. Is get the unique thing at the ballpark. We were at T-Mobile on Sunday, and my niece and nephew had never been, so we're like, get garlic fries. Got to get garlic fries, right? So they had garlic fries. And Brig, they had waffle garlic fries, which were next level. We drove home after the game. It had been a solid 5 hours since we finished the box of garlic fries, and he refused dinner because he's 16. So you think he has a hollow leg. He refused dinner because he's like, I ate my weight in garlic fries today. I'm still not hungry.
My man.
It was fantastic. I would do. I was a proud uncle. But yeah, you should have been. Before you even go into the ballpark, though, find the local haunt, right? The local eatery where everybody goes. Mix it up with the locals, whether you're cheering for the home team or the road team or just a baseball fan, go mix it up with the locals. Go find the place. Like, I will never forget, before going into a Bees game, the bar across the street, Lucky 13, best burger I've ever had in my life, by the by. Find the place next to the ballpark and go get something to eat, something to drink before you go into the ballpark. So get there early so you don't miss out.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Then you don't have to pay ballpark prices if you don't want to.
Right, and then you can just, like, get ice cream or something.
Yeah. See,
or a deep fried Rice Krispie treat, because that's where it's at.
Yeah. This is recent experience.
That was, dude, this was 8 years ago almost. And I will never forget that spiritual experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just oozing out of you. You're just so giddy. It was. I thought it was 2 days ago.
No, that was the first time and last time at a ballpark I ever finished a $10 snack and was like, I might go get another one. It was next level, man. It was so good.
That is really funny. Okay, I got to piggyback because you tried to steal mine, but you didn't. Okay.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of getting whatever the thing is at the ballpark, right? Whatever the unique food option is, if you can, and if you can find it, because sometimes it's really hard to find, but if you can find where to get the unique thing, go get it. I pulled up a list. Get a Dodger dog, obviously at Dodger Stadium. If you're there, go get one.
You can get them in Glendale too during spring training.
Pizza cupcakes are a thing at Citi Field. Pizza cupcakes.
So when
must
are we
have
going?
That experience.
So when are we going?
Yeah. How about a donut burger at Citizens Bank Ballpark? A donut burger.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's like, but I must have one. And
I'm
then
willing to find out.
Whatever a Bayou City hot dog is at Minute Maid, that sounds. You're telling me you're going to take a hot dog and you're going to make it Cajun style? I'm here for it.
I am absolutely here for it.
So get your food first. If you don't want to follow Brad's advice and eat before you get to the ballpark, do mine. Get there a little early. Get your food right away because then the lines are going to be nasty. So just get it right up front. And then you get up and you have your fourth inning snack. And this is part of your planning. You got to know what everybody's favorite fourth inning snack is. Because as you're looking for whatever the local flair is, the local ballpark fair, both are applicable. You're looking at all the signs and you're thinking, okay, there's my ice cream. There's the soft pretzels. Okay, that's where I get the Dippin' Dots that my kid loves or whatever, right? You just kind of be aware of where you can find all that stuff because as soon as the fourth inning ends, it's snack time. Always. Right. It's always a fourth inning snack. Everybody has their favorite fourth inning snack. If you don't, you should have one. You should come up with one. We were at the ballpark the other day. We were going to do a Greenville Drive game. Boom, Greenville Drive.
Nice.
Went to the Greenville Drive, and I looked around. And we're like, you know, we had our hot dogs and everything. And I said, okay, what's everybody's favorite fourth inning snack? And, you know,
took orders and
we were ready. We knew it, you know, in a short amount of time. So those are my two food tips is have a plan for your fourth inning snack because it's going to come. And the reason you do it in the fourth inning is because if the lines are long, you're not missing a tremendous amount of baseball. You still have time to get back to your seats and enjoy.
Well, something I had not thought about at Chase Field, but I definitely thought about at T-Mobile, and I've thought about at spring training parks since somebody pointed this out to me. If you're at a good ballpark, you can still see the field from the line.
Absolutely.
So
whether it's televisions or you turn around and you can see it from behind you.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. At the very least,
Chase does a good job.
Chase has TVs every 35 feet, you know, whatever. The bummer thing is you can't see the field.
Yeah.
But like at T-Mobile, when you're standing in line getting your food, you can always see the field. And it's awesome.
That's really awesome.
Nice. So got that going for him, which is nice. Okay. You ready for my next one?
Yeah.
Go to the team store. Always go to the team store.
Stop it.
Do I keep taking your stuff?
Yes. And why you got to take mine? That's mine. That's my one. That's my favorite thing, Brad. You know it's my favorite thing.
I do know it's your favorite thing. And my thing is, like, I will always go to the team store. I may not always buy something, like, just because, like, depending on where I'm at. Like, at Chase, my son wants to go walk to the team store. I'm like, yeah, let's go do it for the 15th time. No problem. Yeah, we're not going to get anything today. But if it's a place where you know you're not going to come back to or you think there's a chance you're not going to come back, get something. Get something small. Get something with the team's logo on it. I went to Target Field. It would have been 8 years ago now. And I really, really, really wish I had gone to the team store and just bought something. Anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fortunately, I was covering the game. So I got the, like, I was there as media. And so I got the giveaway. It was like a little mesh back hat. So I got that. So I had something from the stadium, but I wish I had gone into the team store and bought something else, you know?
Yeah.
So, because I don't know the next time I'm going to get back to Target Field.
But yeah. Well, since you took mine.
Okay.
I'm just going to piggyback again off of that one. So you got to know going in if there's a collectible item that you want. Right. I know people who collect plushies at ballparks and I know, or stuffed animals. I know people who do enamel pins. Ball caps are really common. Whatever it is, know going in. And if you're going to do that, and that's an important thing for you, do it early. Right. Don't miss the game. Show up. And oftentimes, almost always, especially in major league facilities, your team store will be open prior to the game. And then they will block off the external entrance and then they will funnel you back through. Right. So you can get into the team store from the outside, but they won't let you through the ballpark doors. And then they'll pull everybody out of the team store, close the other side and open the internal doors. So get there early if that's a big deal for you. I've stood in lines. What was that WBC line I stood in? What was that?
Oh, my gosh.
Like a 40 minute
line? It felt like forever long. Yeah,
it did. I stood in a line in Atlanta for I thought would be another 40 minutes, ended up being like 20, 25. It was really nice. And they had people, the cool thing in is Atlanta, they have people who are like 1, 2, 3, 4. They're on the walkie talkie. They call back four people left. So they have it really well managed and there's still room to move in there and stuff. It's not like that everywhere.
Dude,
so
we were at the one in T-Mobile on Sunday and it was banana, and it's always super crowded because that's actually one of the entrances to the stadium is that you can get your ticket scanned at the team store and come in that way.
Uh-huh.
And it is a massive store. It is huge.
Really?
Like, I'm always baffled at how big it is. And it's so crowded that you're walking with everybody no space at all. It's not as crowded as the one at Chase was during the WBC. You talk about that. And
that was crazy.
I'll never forget. You're waving me over. You're like, come on over. And I'm like, I literally cannot move right now.
Yeah. You're like, I can't. You're taller than all the people around you. Right?
Yes, I could see everything, but I could go nowhere because nobody was moving. I probably could have lifted up my feet and not budged.
Yeah,
I would not have fallen to the floor. My feet. We were packed in there so tight.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. So if you're the type of person who knows, like me, I collect ball caps, right? I get a ball cap from every facility. I know I'm going to do it. I wear one to the ballpark. I know it's going in the bag as soon as I buy the new one. It's just what I do. But so if you know that about yourself, you can do it one of two ways. You can go online and start looking, be like, that's the one I want, so that you can make a quick beeline for it. Or if you're like me and you're a glutton for punishment and you are beholden to the muse, then you'll stand there staring at the wall of hats for however long it takes till the one lightning strikes your brain.
Well, and remember, there's sometimes the team store will have exclusives.
That's right.
I saw 3 exclusives on Sunday and I was like, I want all of them, but that's a lot of American dollars.
Exactly. That's what I don't do the research. I go and look. For lots of reasons, because the decisions I thought I was going to make before I got there or would have made before I got there and I saw what everybody else was wearing and I noticed the unique stuff the team store has. I never go in with a plan because I want it to be unique to that one experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I would do it too.
But pick the thing you're going to collect. If you're going to collect a thing, know at least that going in. Stuffed animals, enamel pins, flags, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Or another thing you can do is, well, like you said, know what you're going to get. Like if you were going to get enamel pins, as soon as you walk in, find somebody, say, where is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause they're so crowded. Typically you don't want to be wandering around looking for stuff.
No, and enamel pins go fast. That's the other thing about enamel pins. If that's your thing, you're be prepared to hunt for them because they're not always easy to find.
Yeah.
Because I used to collect enamel pins.
Oh, nice.
They are too hard to find eventually. It's like, whatever. The hats are right there.
Yeah, hats are much easier. Much easier to find.
I'll wear them too, so.
Okay. You actually talked about this one a little bit. So when we were talking about food, you said get there early and do your rounds. That's one thing that I was get there early and wander around, explore the ballpark, find, like you said, find the things that you want to eat, right? Find what you want to eat early for your fourth inning snack. And then I'm not going to get into my last one, but like find there, a lot of ballparks have a museum. They'll have in Seattle, it's like super well hidden. They actually have a sandlot that you can play at.
Yeah.
And then they have a place where you can get your picture taken with a cutout of Julio Rodriguez. They have the moose. What is it? It's like the moose den or something like that, where you can go get your picture taken with the moose.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff around that you can go see. And so go see it all. Get there early and go see it all.
Yeah.
Then you can sit down and watch the game.
Right.
You don't have to be like, oh crap, I missed this because dang it. You know? Yep. So take the time before the game. Typically the doors will open 60 minutes before the first pitch.
Yep.
I noticed on weekends, I know at T-Mobile on Sunday it was 90 minutes, because I think for day games it's 90 minutes. So you have more time to go wander. But take advantage of that time and go do it.
Yeah. Brad, you did it again.
I've done it again.
So I'm coming up with new stuff on the fly. And so we're going to extend this past the five items, because I have new stuff now.
Okay.
But I'm going to jump on this and say that if you do get a chance, go to the monument displays or the museum or the...
That was my last one, is go to the museum.
You got to go. Even if it's just a glance and you just see... Like the one we went to at Chase Field was... It was okay. I wouldn't say it was the most spectacular team, like, museum, franchise museum.
Well, and this is... They have a relatively short history. But
right.
You do get to see a World Series trophy in person, which I think is really cool.
It is
cool. They have it in there.
It is so cool. And you're right. And all of those balls that were signed, like, mm-hmm. It's just neat. What I think is cool is to... I like to look at how the information is presented. Because, so in Yankee Stadium, they also have all the balls, right, signed by pretty much every single person. I mean, I think they're all the All-Stars, if I remember right. But then it's got the balls are cased in this enamel glass arc that runs from Don Larsen's statue pitching all the way to Yogi Berra catching. And the case follows the arc of the baseball that they threw the perfect game in the World Series.
Cool. That's so super cool.
You know what I mean? It's stuff like that. It's like there are hidden little nuances and things everywhere. And what's cool about every stadium museum I've ever been to is that there's somebody there, not just able to answer questions, but they are excited to talk about this. This is their thing. They're very knowledgeable. They're experts, and they're so friendly. The team museum in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium is so, so cool. Like, it shouldn't be cool, but it is. Just kidding. It should be cool. But they have this thing with George Brett and all the number five, and it's all, I think it's baseballs that are wrapped in the number five. It's the one in Atlanta has all 755. It has the number 755 is arranged in baseball bats, and there are 755 baseball bats in the arrangement for Hank Aaron's 755 home runs.
That's cool.
No, it's like amazing.
Right? Yeah.
And that one in Atlanta, you're just on the concourse and you just walk by and just it's walk there. By,
yeah,
it's so every team does it differently. Everybody has a unique history. They display that history differently. It's just, I don't know. I just love it. It's so it's a unique experience every time.
It is. Yeah. And that the one at Chase, I take anytime I'm at a game with somebody who I'm like, they maybe haven't seen the museum. I always take them to go.
Yeah.
To go see it. In fact, I went with my friend last year. She's a Mariners fan as well. And we were walking out, like we were headed for the exit. I was like, you've been to the museum, right? She's like, there's a museum here. I was like, oh shoot. Yeah, there is. And like, we like snuck back to go to the museum just real quick because they were funneling everybody out, you know? And so we kind of like went real quick and I showed her. I was like, so like, there's this, 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 there's a World Series trophy right over there. And there's this, this, and this. She's like, oh, I'll have to check that out next time I'm here. I'm like, yes, you will. We got to go.
Let's go now. Yeah. Yeah, it's really, I think it's a special experience. And if you have like diehard baseball people, they got to go do that. Mm-hmm. If you're a casual, just atmospheric baseball fan, I don't think it's that important, honestly.
Right. Yeah. And so I was thinking about this the other day. So I've been to the museum in Seattle. I've only been there one time, and I'm sure it's different now than it was then because it was like 20 years ago, something like that. Sure. When I went.
Yeah.
But we had my niece and nephew with us, and it was their first game at T-Mobile, and the six of us, cause it's me, my two sisters and those two. So I guess there was five of us. We decided we didn't want to walk up to the third level. And so we didn't go. Like, man, we should have just done it. But we would have missed first pitch if we did because we didn't get there early enough. So
yeah, that's how. Yeah,
I might need to make another trip out for those two up there.
There's a lot. Yeah, shame, right? Oh, darn. All right, do you want to go with another one?
That was my last one, the go to the museum. That's okay. Like a big one for me typically. For some reason, it wasn't this weekend.
It's awesome. It's a great thing to do. Okay, I have another one.
Okay.
A bonus one. I'll stick to. I've got a couple of bonus ones, but I'll do this one first.
Okay.
I know that there have been many times in my life where I couldn't buy a ball cap at a team store, or I couldn't afford even an enamel pin or a fourth inning snack or whatever. So what I started doing is getting iconic photos that didn't cost me a dime. Right? Cell phone photos, or sometimes I have a camera, like way back, I'd have cameras with me. And I would always go. I have a couple of favorite places to go. My first favorite place is at the top in the most upper deck, as high as I can get. And then I want to look right down behind home plate, and I want to watch all of it spill out in front of me. And I want to see whatever's beyond in the skyline behind center field. And I get a photo of the stadium there, but I also get a photo if I can of me and whomever I'm with from there. So that's the thing. If you can't buy anything, there's a lot of ways to remember these things. And yeah, that's absolutely one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And then when we were in St. Louis, there's always there's always something neat going on outside the stadium too. Statues are very common. Pennants, you know, maybe hanging on a flag, or you'll see some stadiums have bricks that are special car engraved bricks, and they tell a story and things. That kind of stuff is always really cool to me. So if you are in St. Louis, for instance, you just go outside the gate in St. Louis, and there is an enormous commissioner's trophy right out in the. I mean, it's like,
oh, really?
It's huge. No, it's absolutely huge. And you go get a picture there, or you can go get they have a big STL St. Louis logo out front. You just go get a picture in front of it. That's just as good as an enamel pin or a ball cap.
That is. It is. I love taking certain pictures of ballparks. For some reason, I like the picture into the infield from the outfield.
Yeah.
I noticed that this year when I was going to spring training games, and then I caught myself again yesterday. I was sitting in the outfield and I was just like, oh, perfect. Picture at every ballpark. I don't know why it's that, because all I'm getting is the facade behind home plate, right? And then the field. When I was like, really, I should be taking this picture out toward left field where you can see Seattle and the Sound, and like I should be up in the upper deck getting a much better picture. But I'm lazy by nature, so I did not.
So you just take, you're like, this is where I sat.
This is where I sat, so this is where I took my picture. But even like, I'm not kidding you, Brig. Every spring training game I was at this year, I made it a point to take a lap so that I could get an outfield picture.
Yeah,
looking in, awesome. I don't know what it is. Maybe I should focus more on that home plate looking out picture, because those are really cool.
They're really cool. But I've taken that right field flagpole picture or foul pole picture a million times. I love it. I love that shot.
Yeah, it's a sweet shot.
Okay, one last bonus tip for me, and then we got to be done. I have two. Sorry. If you have kids, lots of ballparks have jungle gyms and playground areas and
attractions for kids. And you can find that stuff. That's one of the things I mean, when you go take a look around, is you can go find that stuff and do it before the game, so you actually get to watch the game later.
And there are lots of like bloggers out there who will tell you like this is where it's at, and so you don't have to hunt for it, because certain ballparks not easy to find. The one in St. Louis is underground. It's like under the stadium seats.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's down. You got to go down to get to it from the field level. And so that's really interesting. So if you have kids and you know they're going to want to go on a slide or a zip line or something, like it in Atlanta, they have a zip line, then you get that figured out. So my other one is, if you can afford it and if you're comfortable with it and whatever, and if the team offers it, get valet parking. Just get valet parking. I can't tell you. This is one of my favorite things. You go up to Coors Field, and I got an 8-month-old, and you know, I had a back surgery a while back, and my wife's there with me, and I'm like, I'm not parking this car. And I saw a guy doing valet, and I was like, whoop, $40, done.
Worth it.
Done. Okay, I got one more.
I bet you do.
I love going to games. Here's one more. I'll call this one my last one, since this is about the theme that we have here, baseball together. If you're there, make friends with the people sitting beside you.
Yes.
Make friends with the section if you can.
Yeah.
Spread your freaking wings, man, because baseball is better together. It just really is. And we're not using that as a gimmick. That's how this whole thing got started. Baseball is better together.
So
do fun, quirky jokes and stuff and conversations with the people in your section.
Okay, so real quick, I have a story about that from this weekend, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've seen, I'm not a super like social person, but I'm pretty social at baseball games, thanks to
you. You are. Yeah.
So there's this guy sitting two rows in front of me on Sunday. The Mariners were playing the Cubs, and the only guy he would cheer for by name was Cody Bellinger.
Okay.
He would, like, Bellinger's up, and he would yell, "Let's go, Cody! Let's go, Cody!" I'm pretty sure Bellinger went 0-for-4. Because every time he got out, as loud as I could, I would yell, "Attaboy, Belly!" Just like you knew you would, just being obnoxious as all get out. By the time he gets out, the fourth guy time, this guy turns around, and looks at me, just like get, just get. And if looks could kill, Brig, I'd have been dead on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I started cracking up. I was like, "Dude, I'm just messing with you. I love Cody Bellinger." He's like, "You do?" I was like, "Oh, he's one of my favorite players. I'm just messing with you." You go back to it, and then later on, like that was like the seventh inning, and then through the rest of the game, he turned around. And we were talking the rest of the time, you know. And
right.
And if he had been legitimately mad, I'd be like, "Dude, I'm sorry. I'm just messing. Like, I'll stop."
Right.
And I
would
have stopped, you know. But he got the joke, and so we were cool the rest of the time. And then the Mariners lost by a crappy challenge at the end of the game. We fist bumped, and he left. You know, it was fun. It's fun to be social with the people in the section, even somebody who's not super social, generally speaking.
It's my favorite thing. And I'll give you a tip. Okay. When you hear the charge bugle call, and everybody goes charge, don't yell charge, yell foul ball. Just yell. It's a thing that we do. We do it everywhere. And my goal every time I go to a game is to be the guy that yells it as loud as possible, draws enough attention, people start asking questions or whatever, and then we start laughing together, and pretty soon I'm going to get the whole section yelling foul ball, if I can. I have not yet done it, but that's a lingering goal for me, is to get everybody yelling foul ball.
So this is the last thing. Jorge Polanco for the Mariners. Mm-hmm. I told my sisters and my niece and nephew, I said, "Okay, whenever he gets on base, I'm going to yell hip hip, and you guys yell Jorge."
Okay. Yes.
My friend told me about this. She learned this at Yankee Stadium. I think it was Jorge Posada.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. But anyway, so I was like, "We're going to do this." And so he walked. We did hip hip Jorge. He homered. We did hip hip Jorge. And my sister goes, "Do it again." So I was hip hip, and about 10 other people around us all went Jorge. That was awesome. We got that's a little so bit cool. of a cheer in section 106 of T-Mobile.
That's ball the whole point. See, that's Jorge. Exactly what I'm talking about, and it makes it so much more fun.
Yep.
There's nothing. So for me, there's nothing better than a baseball game. And if you're going to be there, you might as well be sharing it, and it might as well be collectively joyful, honestly. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason it shan't be. There's no reason it can't be. And well, with that, baseball family,
let's say
I can't, I shan't, and I wan't. Okay.
If you want to support the show, want to support us doing, continuing to do this and make it a little bit easier for Brig to word, you can support us on Patreon. You can follow the link down in the description. We have 5 tiers of support: $1, $5, $10, $15, and a whopping $500 a month. Each comes with its own special perks. $500 has some big promises that I made on Brig's behalf without his permission. But he says he will follow through. But everybody gets a sticker. Everybody gets other things. And everybody also gets the bullpen cut, the unedited version of the show, which is all the between segment shenanigans and things like that. So that's on Patreon. And there's a link in the description so you can support the show that way. But baseball family, thank you so much for joining us with more tips to maximize your ballpark experience. We will catch you Thursday night when we go live.